a look ahead to next week's organizational meeting for the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Robert Wright, who resigned on February 2nd from the board of the National Association of Flight Instructors. As you may recall, if you follow the news coverage, a lot of things happened revolving around NAFI on that day, as a group of folks who have been somewhat disenchanted with the way NAFI is run started the movement toward creating their own organization, which is now going to be known as the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, or SAFE. One of those board members of NAFI, Robert Wright, resigned, as we said, and Bob is here with us today to talk a little bit about his situation and how he feels about the situation, and to give us a little more perspective into what has been kind of a hard controversy to figure out at times from the outside. Bob, thanks for taking some time out for our listeners today.
Oh, thanks for having me tonight, Paul.
First, let's go back before NAFI to your days with the FAA. You were senior executive for General Aviation for about 4 years. Tell us about that job and how that brought you into contact with the Master Instructors Program.
Sure. I was the manager of the General Aviation and Commercial Division from 2001 to 2005. It was my last job in the FAA. I had about 34 years of Air Force time. Also, I worked for the Government Accountability Office, the audit arm of Congress, and then the FAA. So my last job in the FAA was as FAA's senior executive, if you will, for general aviation, and that job resided in the Flight Standards Service, which are, you know, the FISDOs and all those folks.
All right. Now, what about the master instructor credentials specifically? You mentioned you had a role in allowing those to be taken as the biennial renewal.
Yes, and it's interesting because I'd worked with NAFI for a while, actually, prior to taking that job, and I knew the Hills pretty well. And basically, they came to Washington and presented the master's program as a means, if you will, of renewing a flight instructor certificate. And I kind of considered that kind of a no-brainer, if you will, because if you looked at the master program, it has very broad and deep qualifications in four different areas, whereas the FAA's own flight instructor renewal clinics, if you will, the minimum standard only is in one single area, which is, you know, participation in training, whereas the master's program has community service and a couple of other areas. So I looked at it initially and I said, well, this meets or exceeds the FAA's minimum standard by a wide margin. So it was kind of a no-brainer. Yes, this should suffice as a means for an instructor to renew his or her certificate.
Now, this reminds me a little bit of the WINGS program in its kind of philosophical intent. How hard is it for a third-party organization to get this kind of standing with the FAA? How often does it happen?
Well, it happens a lot, simply because if you look at some of the regulations dealing with the WINGS program or flight instructor refresher clinics, you'll see wording in the regulations in a manner acceptable to the administrator. Well, because of the position I occupied, I had executive authority to grant that equivalence or that authority based on the review of those credentials by myself or my staff. So it actually gave the FAA a lot of flexibility in saying, hey, this meets or exceeds the minimum standard, so we have the administrative ability to allow it to count for credit. And it's so much easier than having very specific regulations on so many hours of this, so many hours of that. So by saying in a form and a manner acceptable to the administrator, it gives the FAA a lot of flexibility for programs like this, you know, and the WINGS program.
Well, obviously, if Sandy and Joanne Hill are now involved with SAFE, they were the ones whose, in your words, whose credibility allowed you to go forward with that recognition. One would think that SAFE will have a program which will have similar backing. Before we take our break and move on to what's coming up with SAFE, let me just ask you to tell me as best you can without going anywhere you don't want to go. What happened with NAFI? Because the organization seemed to be chugging along fine for a long time. And at some point, obviously, it tripped over something.
Well, you know, and I'd rather not dwell too much on NAFI, Paul. I think, you know, as TBO NAFI raised in their initial organization, the best organizations tend to be based on the members' interests, the members' desires, the members' needs and so forth. And I think that TBO NAFI, now SAFE, has probably made the point that we don't think NAFI is doing that. And I think that's a consensus of a large number of people. I thought that the Hills gave tremendous credibility to NAFI, and when the board, you know, did not or failed to reelect them, I thought that was really not the way they should go. And in fact, it was enough for me to decide what organization do I want to be a member of as a flight instructor. I mean, I hold a flight instructor certificate, and I care deeply about the profession. So I want to pick the organization that I think will suit my needs as well as those of the flight instructor community. And I, at that point, I decided to resign from the NAFI board and as a NAFI member. And as soon as, you know, SAFE opens up the gates here to membership, I'll be a charter member and try to find a way to lend a hand.
Okay, aside from the governance issues and how well either of these organizations serves the existing core of about 5,000 NAFI members, there are like 90,000 people who renew their flight instruction certificates. Mm-hmm. Why is such a small percentage of the flight instructor community involved in these kinds of groups? And is there any way SAFE can reach more of these people in a new form?
Sure. I'll answer the second question last. There is definitely a way that SAFE can reach more members. And I think if it's a member-based organization, they'll reach more. I think if they market more effectively, they'll reach more. Although you do have to recognize that not all 90,000 instructors are active in the community. It would be probably improbable that any organization that could get a high percentage of that. But I would say that, you know, just as NAFI grew somewhat during its last 10 years, I would say that SAFE could easily draw as many or more members. And, you know, even if it got to the 5,000 or 10,000 member mark, that would be significant because they would most likely be the most active members of the flight instructor community.
Bob, when we come back from the break, let's talk a little bit about what you expect to happen at SAFE's first meeting next week, in which it's officially formed, and what your role might be. My guest is Bob Wright, who is a former NAFI board member and former FAA senior executive for General Aviation. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Wright, former NAFI director and future member of the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators. The new organization will be officially put together at a meeting in Atlanta on the 26th. Bob, are you going to be there, and what do you expect to happen?
Well, unfortunately, I probably won't be there, Paul, because I had a prior commitment during that date. I'm sort of in transit here between two places where I'm trying to sell a house and move my residence up to Bellingham here permanently. So I won't be in Atlanta at the Women in Aviation Conference, but I have to tell you, I will be there in spirit, and I've told the organizers that I will lend a hand any way I can, primarily as an advisor in the areas where I've had expertise working with the FAA and so forth. To tell you the truth, Paul, there are so many qualified people in TBO NAFI that will become, you know, active and SAFE and the new organization that I think that a board that constitutes, you know, current master instructors, the organizers of TBO NAFI, active flight instructors. I think there's a cadre of incredibly qualified people there that will probably be the leaders and the most likely people to be on the board. But I will definitely be there to lend a hand in any way I can, as an advisor or whatever. And even though I won't be there at Atlanta, I will certainly be with them in spirit.
Let's talk about going forward what SAFE will hope to accomplish. I know obviously the first thing will be to create something analogous to the MCFI credential. But beyond that, talk about the general state of the flight instruction industry today. I've heard a lot of criticisms, including some from some fairly prominent people in the industry, about how, from a regulatory and educational standpoint, CFI is not, that credential from the FAA has not kept up with the needs of pilots today.
Paul, I would agree with you 100%. And even when I was still in the FAA, I was moving in that direction. I created a program called FITS, FAA Industry Training Standards, that was trying to recognize the changes taking place in the industry, the advent of new technology, new teaching methods, and if you will, a way of getting away from the rote training standards of the past, some of which we can trace back to the 1939-1941 era when we had the civilian pilot training program. You know, the rote performance of maneuvers and so forth needs to give way to scenario-based training, to practical tests that are based on the real world, to updated guidance material and so forth. And to the FAA's credit, they've started making changes in that direction. But, you know, as you know, the FAA has had some difficulties with resources and so forth. And so the pace of change is very slow. And I think the community, that is the flight instructor community, could be of tremendous use to the FAA here in helping accelerate the process of change and how flight instruction gets done.
From your perspective as a flight instructor, do you think some guys who maybe have ideas that are a little outside the box have been sort of pushed into the Part 61 world because Part 141 was just too confining?
Yeah, I think that that's exactly what's happened. And of course, FITS was designed as a program to be outside the box from the get-go and to operate under Part 61 without the constraints of 141 and so forth. And I think that in the final analysis, we could get into some detailed discussion here. It's probably outside the scope of this discussion, but you know, the fact is the practical test standard drives training. And until you make some fundamental changes in how practical test standards are constructed, you will not be able to make fundamental changes in training. And this is where I think we need a dialogue within the aviation community between the instructors, the FAA, and other people in industry, training centers and so forth, about how this change needs to take place. And even if you go to the airline community, you'll find them agitated by this subject. They talk about how they're constrained by regulatory training as opposed to the real-world training. And that's why, you know, programs like the Advanced Qualification Program got started in the airline community, because they had the clout to make the FAA change. I think we need the same kind of new deal for general aviation.
Do you think the FAA will be open to third-party involvement, and do you think SAFE in particular will be a good venue in which to conduct that?
I'll answer the second question last. SAFE will be an excellent venue to not only conduct or help the FAA, but maybe to lead the discussion. The second question is the FAA ready to change? I think you'll find the FAA is not a monolith. There are many people with many different viewpoints in the FAA, and there are a lot of traditional thinking in some parts of the FAA, and other parts of the FAA are more willing to change and adapt. So I think that it needs an outside stimulus from the aviation community to make that change.
I have this image of FISDOs across the country as varying widely in their susceptibility to not invented here syndrome. Is that something that can be overcome in the FAA as a whole?
Not invented syndrome is a human behavior that's always hard to overcome, but I think institutionally the FAA needs to construct a process for more industry involvement. And they have a process now. It's called the Joint Safety Committee. It's a group of people in the FAA and an industry that work at a fairly high level. It's Washington-based, and it has accomplished a lot of good things, primarily because there are so many talented people. Well, not many, but there are some talented people in the FAA that are taking the initiative. People like Susan Parson, who's a master CFI. She works in AFS 800. She's taken a leadership role in the FAA, and she co-chairs the JSC. So you have people like Susan. You have people like Tom Glista, who runs the FITS program. I mean, I hate to mention names here, but those two in particular stand out as having been leaders and be willing to work hard towards, you know, adapting and making these changes. And I'm sure there are lots of others, but I think the people in the community need to step forward and be recognized, and I think SAFE is an excellent venue for doing that.
Well, Bob, listen, we really appreciate your perspective on this whole thing. We are going to want to have further conversations. You mentioned something being outside the scope of this one. That's fine, because I hope we can get a chance to talk to you again after SAFE is put together next week.
That'd be great. Anytime, Paul. It's a subject that really interests me, and I'd be happy to talk to you anytime about it.
Robert Wright is a former NAFI director and former FAA senior executive for General Aviation. If you want to find out more about the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, you can find out more at the temporary website www.tbonafi.info. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.